1323.
I promise I will not judge any person only as a teenager.
A youth perspective on national current affairs. Today we continue the second and final instalment of our special, looking at the federal government's interim report into the youth allowance.
I think they know that there have been significant losers in the introduction of this policy.
Youth Affairs Council of South Australia's spokesperson Kim Davey has been highly critical of the report.
What do you see the significance of this report in a broader context?
It's the government's attempt to put the best spin on a difficult transition. The community has told them so. Their own consultation documents have said so. They have now, in my view, sanitised that from their final report and have led the community to believe that on balance, the introduction of the youth allowance has been a very good thing, and there are more winners than losers. And it is that sort of mentality that I think the report conveys. It's a winners and losers mentality, with the losers, gently pushed to the margins of the debate, and the emphasis on so-called principles of parental responsibility pushed to the fore, which is really a play for middle Australia's support, political support, when it comes to those disadvantaged and marginalised young people who are finding it really tough to make a go of setting themselves up as independent young adults. So it doesn't send a good message at all. I guess the only point of comfort is that it's an interim report. There's still more to go, and I can only hope that the consultations that will be conducted in the future will lead to a more honest appraisal of the problems with the policy settings and some changes that are in the interests of both young people and of their families. And we've certainly made strong submissions along those lines to the Prime Minister's Youth Pathways Task Force, which is currently considering a range of matters related to young people and their transition to independence.
Social security, the way it is.
Yeah. Do you think the impact on young people has been fully considered by policymakers?
I think the impact on young people has been the last thing that the policymakers have been concerned with, certainly at senior levels. If you read the interim report closely, you'll see that the impact on families and on parents is certainly the views of parents are considered to be paramount. Now, I don't think that they've really considered the views of low-income parents who are finding great difficulties with the additional burdens that have been placed on them. But it's quite clear from the tenor of the report that what young people themselves have to say is not critical to the policymakers. There was no process of detailed consultation with young people directly, the recipients of income support payments. And I think that this is a further example of the sort of paternalism that Commonwealth governments have perpetuated over the years when it comes to young people's welfare. We've done it with students, we're doing it now with young people both in the school system and, of course, those young people who are out there looking for work. Governments very often malign them, imply or say directly. In fact, we have a senior Commonwealth Government minister calling young people who want to make choices job snobs, and certainly sending the message to the rest of the community that our young people are work shy and have a cushy, comfortable lifestyle at the expense of taxpayers. Education and training opportunities are tougher than ever in terms of a substantial pathway through to a decent career opportunity. It's a very difficult road that they have to hoe at the moment.
Jenny Bourne, Assistant Secretary for the Office of Youth and Training from the Department of Families and Community Services.
You mentioned in the report the idea that 18 was no longer an age of, I guess, independence. What response did you get in the report in regards to, I guess, the desires of young people and parents in that dependence, independence area?
There's a message to the all Australians, is that in the government's view, parents are responsible for their children. And that includes young people. And what the government is saying is, you're responsible for the young people in your family until they reach the age of 21 if they're looking for work. up to age 24 if they're a student. And as I said before, the majority of parents actually think that that's a reasonable thing for the government to do.
Well, I think many young people see it as a really very regressive step. It's an extension of their dependence when in every other domain, the community recognises 18 years as the beginning of independent adulthood, and we acknowledge that rite of passage by bestowing legal rights and responsibilities at that age. We're also pointing out that other government programs, which include family payment, the Family Tax Initiative and the Child Support Scheme, are based on the principle that young people are no longer dependent once they reach the age of 18 years. And most support is wound back from the age of 16 years while young people make that transition to adulthood at 18. But here we have a system that that extends dependence to 21 and in the case of students to age 25. I mean, it beggars belief that that young people should be considered to be dependents of their parents at that age in modern Australia. So it's a major cause of concern for young people, both in psychological terms and in practical terms, and certainly many parents agree with this as well. We think that the age of 18 should be recognised uniformly as the age of independence. After all, a major argument about the introduction of, or for the introduction of the youth allowance was to promote consistency across the system. And we don't think this promotes consistency. Extending dependence creates real difficulties, practical difficulties for young people and their families. So we want to see that changed. We want to see it wound back, and we've recommended that 21 be the interim age of dependence whilst the system adjusts to the changes that need to be made.
I ain't got a job, and there's no work in the city. Right, they always try to blame it on the blacks, but it's really those in power who stab you in the back. Living in a bedsit, fucking the tube trains, sleeping on.
The idea that parents should provide support if they're able for their children, is it one that can be debated in a logical sense, or do you think it's more of a moral belief? What do you think is behind the government's decision in this case?
Many people have said that the policy is really social engineering. It's about shifting support for young people away from the state and onto families themselves. The problem with the policy is that the main burden of support is shifted onto the lowest income families, those least able to make that contribution, even though there is a strong tradition in working class families in Australia of support for their children. It's poorly devised policy. Many people think that it's really about saving taxpayer dollars, so-called. But it's ironic to look at the levels of support that the Commonwealth Government gives to, for example, industry assistance, so-called corporate welfare. I think some $7 billion a year in direct industry assistance and tax breaks to the big end of town. Now, no one scrutinises those payments, but we run the ruler to the last dollar over low-income families and force them to take on a burden which they are not fully able to take on.
Kim Davey is also critical of activity tests, which younger people often rely on to keep receiving benefits.
The activity test requirements need much greater support from the Commonwealth. We understand that there are only 30,000 of those activity agreements that have been signed around the country. That's a very low take-up rate. We want to see that actively promoted as a thing in terms of the requirements on young people to be eligible for their income support.
Jenny Bourne, Department of Family and Community Services.
Well, the activity test is quite flexible, and there are a range of training opportunities. They vary from place to place. A lot of them are provided through the Job Network, for example, where they can say, go to the Job Network and say, well, look, you know, I'm looking for work. If they're on youth allowance and they've been assessed as having a particular need, then it's up to the Job Network to make sure that the young person has the opportunity to do the training or to get the skills that they need. I mean, I suppose it's different to what it was a few years ago, but the government has changed. The government's made a whole lot of changes around the service provision here. I think there are ways and means for people to access what they need to access to be able to make themselves more competitive in the labour market.
We're here today to express our disappointment at the federal government. This federal government, since it was elected in March last year, has consistently attacked young people in their universities, when they're trying to get training, when they're trying to survive on the dole.
Well, I think it's pretty clear that young people are under attack. We are fighting for an accessible education for all. We are fighting for free education, and we are fighting for our rights as young people to decide our own future.
This country should be about young people having the opportunity to build a future for themselves. Young people being able to say, this is what I want to do, how can the government help me achieve it? But this government says no.
So-called common youth allowance allows absolutely nothing. It will only act to further push us down the path of poverty.
Higher education is nothing more than a training school for the elites after they've passed their private school education.
Our future's been stolen from us. We won't accept that.
That's it for this week's program. You can check out the full interim report at the Department of Family and Community Services website at www.facs.gov.au.
Next week we focus on Domestic Violence Prevention Week, which is currently underway in Queensland. On today's program we've featured music from Brisbane band Minimum Chips, as well as music from The Simpletons, Mothman and Newtown Neurotics.
1323 is produced at 4ZZZ in Brisbane by Lucas Moore and Heather Anderson with assistance from the Community Broadcasting Foundation.
Contributions are welcome. Phone 07 3252 1555. Fax 07 3252 1950. PO Box 509 Fortitude Valley, Brisbane, Queensland. Email hjk@dingoblue.net.au.
1323.